ahead and get started with our first media availability this morning in advance of this weekend's races here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So we've now been joined by Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 21 Motorcraft Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center Ford. And Ryan, advancing into the round of 12, obviously a big accomplishment for your team. Talk a little bit about coming into this weekend at Charlotte.
Yeah, it's nice to be in the second round. The first round we just kind of survived, and last week wasn't the prettiest at all, but we kind of did what we had to do and just get in. So I'm looking forward to the second round. I think these tracks suit us a little bit better, a couple mile and a halfs, and Talladega we always run decent at, but you never know what can happen. So I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to be here at Charlotte opening this thing, and hopefully we can have some good runs and start off on the right foot, and hopefully be in a decent spot for Talladega to where we don't have to hit a home run or anything like that. But if that happens, we'll just kind of roll with what we have to do. But nice to be here, place I grew up pretty close to, and be racing here. It's a nice racetrack.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Ryan. If you have one, please state your name and affiliation, and we'll start right here. No, we
got one. Mark Garrow, PRN. Ryan, obviously this is your first playoff experience. Have you noticed an increase in the intensity in these first three races as opposed to the regular season?
Yeah, it's intense for sure. From lap one, which that's how it's supposed to be. I think that's why racing is supposed to be. It's supposed to be, on go from the drop of the green flag. There shouldn't be any riding around. I'm not saying we do that in the regular season, but there's definitely a lot more give in the regular season, and there's none of that in the postseason, which is good. That's how it should be, and that's how I like racing. So intensity is high, but that's what we race for. So I like it.
All right, we'll go to Jenna, right up front, please.
Jenna Fire, AP. Ryan, did you just get by? Do enough to survive in the first round? Do you think you guys are gonna have to raise your game to get through the second round?
Yeah, definitely. We can't go out this weekend and run like we did at Dover. That was pretty bad. We gotta definitely be better. You're gonna have to, get a bunch of stage points and run at least in the top 10 in all three races, I think, to transfer on. And that's the way it is. As we cut teams, it just gets harder to make it in, obviously, the next round. So we do have to get better. I'm not gonna say that we're really where we want to be. We need to be faster and compete and be able to go out there and do it every single weekend. So I think this will be a pretty big testament for us and how it's going to go off in here in the second round. But we do need to be better, for sure.
All right. Mike, did you have a question?
Mike Henry, USA Today. Next October here is going to be very different, obviously. What are your expectations of how that race is going to come off?
I don't know. I'm kind of up in the air on my thoughts about it and what to expect. I'm not really sure what to expect. I don't think anybody is, really. It'll be different. I was able to, they put some turf down over there, and that's a little bit different from what it's been to separate it. But and right now it's kind of hard to even walk that Roval because the campers are here. But it'll be something different. I know NASCAR is always wanting to change things, and the track here at Charlotte, they were wanting to do something as well. So my thoughts about it is it's just something different. We'll adapt to it, whatever it is. But it'll be neat. It being a playoff race, it's a little bit kind of wacky, but that'll be an interesting second round for sure. If it stays in this order with the road course, a speedway, and then a mile and a half, that'll be a pretty unique round for sure. But I think it'll be pretty neat. The fans hopefully will like it, and just something new, and that is never a bad thing.
All right, we'll go to Jonathan, and then Lewis, and then Dustin.
Jonathan Mayer, NASCAR.com. Where do you think you have to be at the end of this race to, not necessarily be comfortable going into Talladega, with that race being a wild card? Is it the top five? Is it the top 10? What's going to ease your mind going into that?
If we're in victory lane, to be honest with you, I feel like that's the only way you can be really feel good about going into a speedway like that. Even if you win a couple stages, that's great. You got a bunch of gap, but you can go out and get caught up and won before even the first stage and lose a bunch. And I don't really think you can ever really feel comfortable going into a speedway race unless you're locked in. So hopefully we can try to win the race. Obviously, that's our main goal. But I think if you have a solid day, it helps out. But I don't really think you'll be comfortable unless you win the race going into next week.
All right, Lewis, go ahead.
Lewis Frank of Reuters. Lap traffic may have figured into the outcome of the race or the eliminations at Dover. How are you finding courtesy amongst lapped cars?
I mean, they're racing like they should. You know, look at the situation last week, and that was, you know, there's two sides to every story. I mean, 31's trying to make his season and make it into the next round, and he doesn't want to go a lap down in case there's a caution. Try to get some spots, and, you know, yeah, there might have been some leeway he could give the 24, but, you know, he's racing too. He's racing for his season pretty much, and, you know, you can't really blame him for that, even though, you know, the outcome kind of stunk for the 24. But, you know, the lap traffic is kind of how it is, and it's, you know, kind of car-related. You know, like I said, the 31's in the playoffs. He's trying to make the next round. If it was another car who's, you know, laps down or doesn't really is not in the playoffs, you know, they might give him a little bit of room, but you got to understand who's racing for what, and you know, they deserve to be out there too, no matter how many laps down they are. They're racing also, but I don't think really that's changed very much in the playoffs, the lap traffic. It was hard to pass last week for sure. Traffic was pretty rough, pretty brutal, but I don't really think it's changed too much here, whether it's the playoffs or regular season.
All right, we'll go to Dustin and then Jim. Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Ryan, there's four Toyotas left. Kyle Larson's left, obviously showing a lot of speed. How do you compete against those teams, and do you view it as you're trying to race for one of three spots left for the next round?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you do kind of look at that. I think, personally, there's three teams that have been the class of the Cup Series all season, you know, and I think you guys know the three teams that have been up there, and especially showing muscle here in the last, you know, especially start the playoffs, but the last, you know, months, handful of months, and, you know, you can almost look at it that way, but, you know, you never know what can happen and who can get knocked out or get in, and it's just circumstances, but, you know, I don't really look at it that way. I try not to kind of focus on, you know, only one spot in the final four. I just try to get to the next round and focus on each weekend individually and just try to do our job each weekend and then move on to the next one. I think that's the best way to kind of go about things, especially the way the systems are now. So those guys have run great all year, and, you know, you got to respect them for it. They've done a great job. But hopefully, like I said earlier, we can get our team better. We need to be better, and whether it's cars faster, I need to be better. Execution on pit road needs to be a little bit better. So if we can improve a handful of things, hopefully we can make a little bit of a march towards those top three cars. It'll be tough to do, but I have faith in us. Hopefully we can do it.
All right, we're going to go to Jim and then to the back. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim Hunter, Motorsport.com. Going back to kind of Jenna's question about surviving the first round, it seemed like you guys had high expectations, as a lot of people do when the playoffs started. Were you caught a little off guard by the fact that you weren't maybe perhaps better in the first round than you ended up being, or is it really hard to tell?
It's kind of hard to tell. You know, you never really know how you're going to stack up before the playoffs. You know, when everyone brings all new updates and new cars and things like that, and it's hard to kind of tell where you're going to be. So I didn't really have a ton of expectations going in. I just wanted to kind of do our job and transfer into this round because, you know, our team deserves to be, you know, at least in this round. I think we've shown that, proven that. But I knew the first round was probably going to be the toughest, to be honest with you, because I struggle at you know, Loudon pretty bad, and Dover's not been my best racetrack, so I thought that was going to be a kind of a struggle round for us, and I was really looking forward to this round, to be honest with you, out of all of them, because we run pretty good on these racetracks, so our goal was honestly to just, I guess, survive, but, you know, you can't just kind of lay over and take it. You just have to try to do your job and do the best you can and try to get some points for the next round, but let's go to each race trying to win it, and I don't really look at the week after, just try to do the best we can in the moment.
All right, go ahead.
Jacob Seelman, Performance Motorsports Network. Ryan, with as strong as the Ford Speedway program has been this year, and how strong the 21 team always is on the plate tracks, I know they call Talladega a wild card. Can you take any sense of comfort from the fact that you guys are always good in the draft, or is it just so unpredictable that there's really not much, even with the speed, that you can take?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, there's confidence there because we run pretty decent there, and we've had some good runs at speedways, but you never know. I mean, we've had great runs at Talladega, and we got, KO'd the earlier race this year and got knocked out. So you just never know what can happen. It's just all kind of circumstance and chance. Unless you, are just absolutely dominant, you can lead the whole race, and I've seen a couple of people do that in the past handful of years. But even then, I've seen them kind of fall back and then get wrecked. So there's not a lot of comfort you can bring into that race. Just know that you run decent there, and our cars have been pretty fast, and hopefully you can make the right moves and decisions and have a little bit of luck on your side as well. That comes into play on those tracks, unfortunately, but and everything, really. But there's confidence, but not a lot of comfort.
All right, go ahead.
Tyler Burnett, Motor Racing Network. You have driven Roush Yates engines the majority of your career, and obviously for probably the foreseeable future with going to Penske next year. What's Robert Yates' legacy to you? You're a bit of a historian. What's his legacy, and also maybe your greatest memory you had with him?
Yeah, that was really tough to hear, that news. The Yates family has been a huge part of NASCAR for a long time, and it's really great to show the support that Doug has to our team and carrying on his father's legacy. I've always appreciated the Yates family for all the advancements they've made in NASCAR from, back in the day, and still advancing and improving, and probably one of the top, it's easy for me to say, one of the top engine manufacturers nowadays. But I had a really great story about him, Robert. So we did our victory lunch at Roush Yates for Pocono about a month and a half ago, and Robert came. So they had all the employees, Doug was there, and Robert showed up. And so the Wood brothers, Eddie, Len, and I, and Robert, and Doug sat down and talked for it. It was at least 2 hours after the lunch was over, and just hearing stories. He reminds me a lot of Leonard in that sense, where he was a great storyteller and has just tons of stories. And he told me a great story about A.J. Foyt. He was working on his, it was a Silver Crown car, I believe, of his back in the day. I couldn't remember what year. It kind of made me laugh, and you kind of get a sense of who the two people are. He's out there running. I think it was at Indianapolis Raceway Park, but I don't know what they call it nowadays, IRP. And A.J. comes in. He's like, it's not running right. Carburetor's not running right. He's like, all right, let me fix it. Goes out again. AJ comes in, he's like, I'm telling you, it's not running right. We need to replace it. He's like, oh, let's just fix it. And he said, AJ comes out from behind the toolbox with a 5-pound sledgehammer and just beats the hell out of this carburetor. And he said, well, I think you should put a new one on it now. And I thought that was a pretty funny story. And there was a handful of others there, but that was probably my favorite. So it was nice to get to know Robert a little bit before he passed. And a great guy, just loved the sport, and probably one of the biggest innovators of the sport on the engine side. So. I think about his family and everybody, but I know Doug has been a great person to get to know, and I know he's gonna definitely make his father proud for sure, and he's a great person to have on our side.
All right, we'll take our last question from Daniel. Go ahead.
Dale with Bad MC Sports. There's pretty good chances of rain over the next 2 days. So what kind of track surface are you guys planning to be anticipating after racing on Sunday?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the weather does. I know it doesn't look great, especially for Sunday. It doesn't look good. I'm not sure how tomorrow looks, but whether it's going to be a night race or a Monday afternoon race, I don't know. But I know it's going to affect the PJ1 they plan on putting down in the second, third lane. They'll probably have to reapply it. But, green racetracks are pretty hard to practice on. We'll have one today, a green racetrack, and until it rubbers in. But kind of the start of this practice will probably end up being the racetrack we're going to race on, just because the rain is going to wash all the rubber away, and
it'll be just like the start of this. So we'll take a lot of notes of how we start off and fire off and then where our car goes as it rubbers in. That'll be a really important deal. So we'll have to pay close attention to that this afternoon when we get on track.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate your time today, and we wish you best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.